when you're down and troubled, and you need some love and care, and nothing, well, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there.
I'm C.J. Layton, coming to you from inside the Phantom Radio Studio, home of the premier radio bowling talk show. Long ago, Bowlers Journal International called Phantom Radio a pioneer in the field of bowling podcasts, because the show is regularly scheduled at the same time each week. PBA Hall of Famer Len Nicholson started the show in 2002. Since then, he's recorded over 1,100 shows featuring over 400 different guests, a literal who's who in bowling. So, Phantom fans, let's welcome our host, Len Nicholson, the Phantom.
Well, thank you, CJ. And a reminder that Phantom Radio is presented by the Kegel Company. Well, Phantom fans, this week's guest may sound familiar because he was also last week's guest, as we ran out of time with his show the last time, and we promised to have him back. And that may also happen again this week, because there's so much that I want you to know about this man. It's probably going to take a couple more shows to get it completed, but he's a great friend of bowling, as well as being a huge supporter of Phantom Radio. Besides being the president of the Michigan High School Bowlers Coaches Association, we're going to learn more about him this week. So, Phantom fans, here again is Dave Kowalski. Hello, Dave, and I appreciate you coming back again this week, as I have many more questions for you. So, having said that, are you ready for this?
I'm ready for round two, Phantom. Let's get it going on.
All right, my friend. Well, you know, we learned a lot about your early years in the sport, and how you started with your dad with that famous 117 game. And you bowled leg, and then you really began to improve a little bit, and you got better and better equipment as time went by, and also you got a little bit better. But I heard you bowled a great series that was nationally recognized. So I know you're humble, but if you don't mind, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it was a Saturday afternoon. It was a small singles league. Basically, I didn't have your oiling skills or lane maintenance skills, but I was kind of deemed the lane man at Zion Lanes. And my equipment was very scientific. It started out, we had the old bug sprayer. But the problem was, we had two high, you know, up-mounted high furnaces that blew hard, and they blew that hot air hard. They were both directed at lanes one and two. So the problem was, the hot air would blast off of, you know, the wall on one and two. lane one hooked about, oh my God, it had to be four or five boards more than, because the oil just got, the fog just got pushed on lane two. And by the time you got to lane seven and eight, here it is, a little eight-lane house, and you were basically pointing the ball off the corner. You literally, it just dumped it. So I thought to myself, I gotta have something better here. So I went to the back of this little place, and they had a mop, a little two-foot-wide mop. And I thought, you know, if I attach some thin sponge to this, and got a bug and just got a squirt bottle, I can put that oil exactly where I want it. And that's what I did. And I would go out and strip the lanes, and on Saturday afternoons, lay out a pattern, and hoping and praying to God that the oil would transfer down, so that by the time Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night come, and the men's leagues were there, they would at least have some kind of lane condition. But let's say we were oiling for Monday night. I would take my mop, whatever was out there. I would cross wipe to 34 feet, gutter to gutter. I'd go stand in the center of the lane, and I'd squirt straight down the center of the lane and out to 34 feet. Then I would Christmas tree it. I pulled a five for about, you know, being it was 2 feet wide, I'd brought 6 feet. I would cross wipe solid oil for the first 4 feet. And then from that point forward or out, I would Christmas tree it out to 34. And then I kind of stretched it out to break down because, you know, you had a stone wall sitting there at 10. By the time you got out to, about 30 feet. So I had to break that down. So what I would do, I'd take my mop and pull it to about 38 feet. Then, of course, they would go bull. And I understood just how underappreciated a lane man was. These guys on Monday nights were 160 average bowlers. If they shot 480, they were extremely happy. All of a sudden, with me pulling this without the bug sprayer, and they're actually consistent from end to end, these guys are shooting 520s and 530s. And they were planing up a storm. It was unbelievable. My God, I'm going, you just bowled 40, 50 pins over your average. Yeah, but look at the grease on my bowling ball. It's not at all. Oh, my God. So a wise old soul once told me, you know what the old adage is for oil, man? You can only keep 50% of the bowlers happy 50% of the time. And boy, does that ring true. It was a Thursday night men's league. I went out, oiled the powder for him. Of course, Friday night, we had just open bowling. And we get in there on Saturday, and this is the way it was. I mean, there was nothing out there. But it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal that if you could get that ball to cross over, it didn't matter. You carried everything. And I told people this. I said, you can't believe this. All I'm doing is cross wiping the first, 8 feet, to protect the heads. And I'm going out and bowling whatever was out there. Well, through an 822 in September, November. I threw an 802 in December, and lo and behold, I pull in on the 7th of January, 1984, and I throw, now I'm throwing, get this, a red dot, a Columbia red dot, the old green Columbia red dot. And I start out 299, left a 510 on my 12 shot. I throw 300. With seven Brooklyns. It was hooking so hard, Glenn, that I literally had to go to my blue dot, my spare ball, to finish out the set. And I start with the front seven. And yes, I'm thinking Allie Brandt. I'm thinking, my God, I'm going to shoot 886 plus. And people are not going to believe this. Well, I get the front seven, another five pin. Air off the sheet, 279, 878. Yep, fortune luck. High series in the nation for the 83-84 season. So that was pretty.
That's fantastic. You know, obviously, from the time you were bowling with your buddies, having a good time and drinking, you learned a whole heck of a lot more about bowling. So, you know, I'm sure you had a lot more stories like that. But, I heard that you got the bug to start coaching, and you attended a seminar with the guru, Fred Borden. How and why did you get so serious into coaching?
I'll tell you what, that man has to be the godfather of any kind of coaching bowling. To have him come, we had, at that time, Dan Dorian was now our center manager. He had Fred come in, give us a seminar, and I was hooked. And to the point where, and now, mind you, this is probably 10, 12 years after throwing 878. I'm still in that goofy little house, which was just obviously a lot of memories. But Fred came in, and the science of bowling, up until that point, it didn't matter. I was just your basic spectator. And what Fred told me and told us, he said, when you go out and throw a shot, don't be a spectator. You watch that ball leave your hand, cross the arrows, go out to your break point, and don't watch the pins fly. Watch what the ball does. And he was I never forgot that. And I think that was the number one thing I teach, you know, every person I come in contact with, that's the number one thing. Don't be a spectator.
That's a great tip. And you're right. He was one of the best of all time. He wrote the book, actually. But, you know, anytime any of us succeed at anything, there's always people who helped us along the way. Who were some of those people that helped you get started in coaching?
It started with the junior program, being I got a bowling center in my backyard, Monitor Lanes. Here's Kevin, you know, junior bowler, out trying, you know, and I didn't want him to bowl at Zion. He would come down and help me, you know, strip and oil. We got him into, you know, their bowling program. And just to watch these coaches, and some of them, as far as talent themselves, but you could see the passion they had in just watching these kids and teaching them the game, the basics. And that's where I caught the bug. It really, you know, and it didn't really come down to me working with other folks till, of course, that lovely bride of mine, Cindy, looked at me one day and she said, you know, your son's going into high school and you promised, oh, Lord, that anything he is active in, you are going to participate with him. Well, that rang true for Cub Scouts. That rang true for Little League. And I just wanted to be a dad. I just wanted to sit in the back of the room and, you know, bring my chairs, cheer, pick him up, good practice, Kevin, and go home. My son has no filter for a mouth, and I think he must have got that from, well, couldn't have been me, you know. So we go to the first practice, and I'm watching, and the coach himself was a math teacher, and Kevin, after the very first practice, as a freshman, comes up, you know, Dad, this guy really doesn't know much. You should help him. And unfortunately, I brought Cindy with me, and she said, you know, you should. You really should. I went, oh, Lord. So I said, no, that's okay. Well, of course, Kevin walked up to Coach Block and said, hey, my dad averages 230. You need him. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he said, well, you know, would you be interested? And I went, as I'm looking behind me with these two sets of eyeballs, I said, yeah, I'll help. That's really where I got into coaching, to the point practices, they weren't structured, and you can't blame the gentleman. You know, he became my dear friend for the next 17 years. High school bowling should be run like a classroom. You should have a game plan. You should have a lesson plan for each night, each practice you're out on the lanes with these guys and gals. As far as why did I, you know, I got my bronze, and one of the dads that second year came up to me and said, what gives you the right to give my kid anything? Because you've got to understand, when it comes to high school, the dad in the background knows much, much more than anybody else in the bowling center. And I call it, the directing traffic method. You'll see this little guy up on the approach, and he's doing this rubber neck, and he's looking at his dad, and his dad's up there doing hand signals. And I would step in his way, and my first point would be to go back to the dad. And I said, you know, you seem to know a lot about this game. Would you like to help coach? Oh, no. I can't do that. But the best part was, one of the dads said, what truly gives you the right to be out there on the lanes? What are your credentials? Well, you know, at that time, you know, seven-time city all-star, average 230, blah, 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 shot 878. He said, yeah, but what teaching skills do you have? He had me. And that's when I went and became a bronze USBC coach. And the rest basically kind of fell in line. That was in 2002. In 2003, we had a team that was good enough to win the proprietors state championship for the Division B, Class B. But it still comes down to it, man, like anything else. if you don't have great kids that really, really want to learn, you know, you're not going to advance anywhere. And we always had.
Well, you know, I know your program is probably one of the best, if not the best, in the whole country. And I got my finger on the pulse of a lot of areas in the country. And Chuck Bazzano Jr., he runs a junior tournament club back east in New Jersey, Philadelphia area. They get hundreds of kids showing up every weekend, at least before the pandemic. And he's been doing that for years. But, you know, I've heard nothing but great stories about your program there, basically. Can you tell us just briefly what your basic program encompasses? Like how many kids are involved and how many teams and stuff like that?
Are you asking, would you like to know, like, for the state or for within our, you know, in the program when I was affiliated with it?
Yeah, basically what you're involved with.
Well, it's really was twofold. When we developed a program, of course, bowling in high school for Michigan was basically, we were second-class citizens in our own school. You know, we had affiliation. So, you know, you had, it was a niche. You know, you had kids that bowled on Saturday mornings, and all of a sudden, you know, hey, you can wear your school colors and go out and bowl. And it was a blessing from the Michigan State bowling proprietors who really backed the sport itself. And there were so many wonderful founding fathers we had. Mark Voigt, Scott Bennett from the state bowling proprietors, Tracy Long, Arnold. You know, these were folks that were phenomenal. You had guys in the Detroit metro area that really, really laid the background and foundation. You know, Harry Berkey, Tom Stockton. But for us, the godfather, the true godfather of high school bowling in our state was a guy by the name of Ron Tomasoni, who ran a bowling center up in Iron Mountain, Michigan. And that man was passionate to get high school bowling. He would go to any meeting down in Lansing at the Michigan High School Athletic Association, the MHSAA. He would speak anywhere. He would talk anywhere. He would build up anywhere, you know, just to generate, you know, give these kids who have as much passion as the football team. The only thing is they just play a different kind of game. And it truly was, when it finally started coming into the schools, we were very, very lucky in our program to have the athletic director we did. He nurtured it. He backed it. He could see, hey, I've got kids that are wallflowers. They are, nobody knows who these kids are. It truly was the send-off. Again, what Ron Tomasoni did basically in 98, 99, 2000, 2001, laid the foundation with the bowling proprietors of Michigan to create high school bowling and brought it to the forefront.
You know, I guess by now you can tell that gentleman who asked you about, you know, how much you knew, and now that you got 20 years of experience under your belt, maybe you can tell him what your laurels are at this point.
I don't know how much time we have left. I definitely want to get into how we now reach almost 7,000 student athletes in the state of Michigan. We have basically four divisions, you know, 85 schools in each division times two, because you've got boys and girls. I know we're running out of time, but the format of how we developed and the State Coaches Association, I was fortunate enough to be on the ground floor in 2003 when we had our first meeting. It really grew to protect our kids and our coaches and give them direction. But it,
I'll tell you what, let's save that, you know, where you're at now, for the next show, because I don't want to cut that part short, because I know how successful it is. But the old clock on the wall does tell me we're out of time. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly the time flies in the show. And there's so much information. Matter of fact, I'm looking here. I still got 31 more questions to ask you, Part. So we're going to put this off to the next time. And so I'm going to stay in touch with you, and I'm going to look at the schedule and schedule you again for another show. How's that sound?
Phantom, I'd be happy to come back. You know, passion you show and the passion I have for our kids and our sport, I'm just truly blessed to be a part of it. I really am.
Well, the kids are lucky to have somebody like you, Parts. That's why I say you're an unsung hero. You're in the background. And anybody that can organize the kids like you do and be the example that you are, that's just totally wonderful. But Phantom fans, that's going to wrap up another show this week. And hope that you all enjoyed it. Enjoyed hearing from Dave Kowalski. We look forward to talking to all of you again next week. We'll have yet another interesting guest to talk to. In closing, we sincerely want to thank our sponsors, Storm Bowling Products and Brad Edelman, for their valued and continued support of our show. And also, a personal shout-out to our good friend, this week's guest, Dave Kowalski, as we appreciate all that they do, thinking of us coming back to you each and every week. So for Phantom Radio, this is The Phantom.
When you're down and troubled, and you need some love and care, and nothing, well, nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there.